store and you buy a package and it says bonus pack, okay? Or you get an extra part today. Today you're going to get two sermons. Oh no, it's going to take a long time. No, we have a baptism at the end of the service, so we're going to be expeditious on this. But the first one can be a sermon on itself. I'm going to ask a question. Do you love the Word of God? You come to this church, you're going to hear the Word of God preached. Amen. Because that's the only thing that we should preach. It's God's Word for us. And we need to love it. There are four reasons we need to love the Word of God. The first thing is that it is inerrant. What does that mean? It means it has no mistakes in it.
Right.
It's absolutely perfect. It says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 140, it says, "Thy Word is very pure." Not just pure, it's very pure. "Therefore thy servant loveth it." You know, when you find something that's precious and pure, you want to hang on to it. We should love the Word of God because it is absolute truth. There's a lot of people say, well, it's for the time, and in this culture, it's this. No, it's absolute truth. What it says, it means. Okay? And that's what we need to do. It is inerrant. The second thing is inspired. There's people that say, well, men wrote the Bible. That's true. God used men to write the Bible, but it wasn't their thoughts.
That's right.
It was God's thoughts. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." It's not a myth. It's not a novel. It's God's Word. It's God's truth. It says, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Amen. Secondly, the kids back in Awana learn this. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration." It means God breathed.
Right.
God told men what to say.
Right.
And, well, there's contradiction. No, there's not. No, there's not. There's no error in it. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's useful. Here's what it's useful for. It's useful for doctrine. That's what you believe. If you've never read the Bible through, I challenge you to do it. Right. If you never pick the Bible up during the day and just read it, I challenge you to do it. Because what do you stand for if you've never read the book?
Amen.
Okay? You need to read the book.
Amen.
For reproof. It will tell us what is right and what is wrong, and then it will correct us.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, God wants us to look like Him, and He's going to use His Word to do that. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's not what you think is right. It's what God's Word says is right. And we need to do that.
Come on.
Amen.
And we need to do what God's Word says is right. The third thing is it needs to have an impact. It needs to have an impact. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, the very next verse, it says that the man or kid or woman, it doesn't matter, okay? That the man of God may be perfect. Not that you can't be sinless, but that we're going to be complete. You know, there's a lot of times that I fix things without the instructions, and when I start building things without the instructions, I wind up with extra parts, and it doesn't work right. We can't have extra parts. We need to have all the parts in us working so we are complete and we are functional. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works.
There it is.
See, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Right.
See, it needs to have an impact on your life. We need to live it. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, after 40 days, Satan comes up to Him and says, "Hey, Jesus, you're hungry." Well, yeah. Okay, and all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And He says, "Hey, if you're hungry and you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." But Christ said this, but He answered and said, "It is written," it is the Word of God, "man shall not live by bread alone," but by what? "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We got to get busy and understand what the Word of God says.
Right.
Does the Word of God have an impact on your life? You should love it. And if you love it, it should change you. The last thing is it's imperative. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We need to hold fast the Bible. There's a lot of people that are straying away from the Bible and teaching man's thoughts for the truth of God. Making the Word of God of none effect.
Yep.
It was the same problem that was back then, the time during Jesus' time, is the same problem today, because man hasn't changed.
Yep.
Man hasn't changed. Do you love the Word of God for its inerrancy?
Yes.
Do you love the Word of God because it's inspired? It should inspire us. You love the Word of God because it changes your life. You love the Word of God because it's something we can hold on to. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So Paul, the apostle, he goes out of these missionary journeys and he starts churches. And as he starts churches, he tells them the truth. And these letters to the churches, one of them is Galatians, which we'll talk about today. The problem was is that they were told the truth about the gospel. And then some people came in afterwards and tried to corrupt them and try to change their belief. And so the Bible, the book of Galatians, is for Paul to correct this false idea that there's things that you can do to get to heaven. That there's things that you should do to say that you're saved. It's not that at all. It's by grace.
Amen.
And so this morning we're going to look at the book of Galatians with this light in mind. Paul is explaining God's truth to the church. He's explaining God's truth to us this morning. And so the title of my message is Standing Fast. You probably already guessed it if you've been in the Bible any time. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to study your word. Father, we thank you for its inerrancy. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, and ask that it impact our lives and that we would follow it with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to love your word today. Help your word to change us. Father, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to stand fast and be free. Lord, I pray that there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, that today they would have a saving relationship with you. Understand that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried, you rose again the third day, and that you're just waiting for to give the gift to us, Lord, if we ask for forgiveness of sins and make you Lord of our life. Lord, I just ask, let's just be with us time, Lord. Have the Holy Spirit have full reign here, binding Satan on our behalf. Father, take away all distractions and help us be attentive. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are three parts to this verse. And we're going to look at each of these parts this morning. You love the Word of God, it'll change your life today. The first thing that we need to do as Christians, and the first thing that Paul was trying to get to the Galatians was stand fast. Just stand fast. Because there's going to be people come in, there's going to be situations come in that will try to shake you away from what the truth is. And so the first part says, stand fast therefore in the what? In the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. See, the only way that we can stand fast is if you're standing for the truth. See, the only way we can stand is through truth. You know why? Because truth, especially today, when everybody says, well, I'm telling the truth. No, you're telling the truth. And everything on the internet's true, right? Okay? You better be laughing because it's not. Okay? We need to understand that truth is absolutely necessary. If you don't stand on the truth, you're standing for nothing. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, what we were talking about, the armor of God and the kids this morning, is this. Verse 14 of Ephesians 6 says this. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Oh, folks, I want you to understand the truth of God's word today. I want you to understand the truth of salvation. I want you to understand the truth of His Spirit. I want you to understand the truth of the liberty that we have here. Because if we don't understand this, we won't stand for anything. We'll fall. We'll fall. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the what? The breastplate of righteousness. You know, There's people today that are standing for the truth and they get called out and they try to get canceled. But you know something, standing for the truth, you'll stick out like a sore thumb in this world today.
Right.
But what we need to understand is we need to stand fast through truth because that should be notable in our lives. John, the apostle, he writes these little letters in the back, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in 3rd John, verses 3 and 4, because it only has one chapter, John makes a statement about people he has led to God. He says this. He says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and what? Testified of the what? Truth that is in thee." When people look at you, do they see God's truth in you? If not, why not? Do they see you standing fast for the truth? Testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou hast what? Walkest in the truth. And then he says this. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know what? God's looking down on us today. God's looking down on you today. And he's seeing if you're standing for truth or not.
Right.
You know, we know that he does because we see in the book of Job how God says to Satan, he says, "Have you considered my servant Job, a man who is upright in all his ways and hates evil?" Oh, folks, if God looked down on us today, he's looking down on you right now. Does he see that? Does he see that you're standing on truth? There's no other foundation to be laid than laid, which is in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to stand on the solid rock. We sang standing on the promises. Stand up for Jesus. We sing all these songs, but do we mean it? Do we mean it? We need to stand fast through truth. Secondly, we need to stand fast through trials. We talked about the armor of God. An army is to get ready to go out and do his fight, not run away. You know, we can see that today in modern day history. It's going on right now between Russia and Ukraine. The Russians thought that as they pick up this big army, mass on the borders, and the Ukrainians would just run away and give up. Guess what? They were standing for what is right. And folks, we need to stand up because in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual warfare that we're fighting. Against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's there today.
Right.
And it's there today. Oh, folks. If you can stand for the truth, you won't run. If you can stand for the truth, you can see the error in people's ways and you'll stand up for what is right. We need to stand up through trials. Christ said this. He says, "In this world you will have tribulation." He says, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Peter writes, Peter, the hard-headed guy, the one who denied Christ. He says, "In this, all that love godly will what? Suffer persecution." So, we need to understand that we need to stand fast through trials. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, it says, "For this is thankworthy, if one for conscience towards God endured grief." Oh, this morning I want your conscience to be open to God. I want your conscience to be open to His truth. I don't want your conscience to be seared with a hot iron. Thinking about what you think is right. He says, "For this is thankworthy, a man for conscience toward God endured grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." You know, that's what God expects out of us. He expects us to stand. He expects us to present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. That's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, this is what God wants us to do. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ." Verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example, that we should follow his steps." Folks, it's a warfare. There are people fighting for truth right now. There's people that want to dismiss this word. There's people fighting for your families and fighting for your kids. And unfortunately, they're winning. You know why? Because we're not standing.
That's right.
So we need to stand fast through truth. We need to stand fast through trials. We can't cut and run. We can't cut and run. And then we need to stand fast through time. This is just not a one battle event. This is a lifetime commitment.
Amen.
Folks, every day we should stand for truth. Every night we should stand for truth. Every moment of our life we should stand for truth. In James chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Wow! You know why we'd be happy? Because we're doing God's will.
Amen.
And doing God's will and doing God's way and following God's word makes Him happy, which makes us happy.
Amen.
"Behold, we count them happy which endure." You've heard of the patience of Job. Now, I don't think anybody in here wants to go through what Job did. And Job had some friends, and his friends just got, and that wasn't the right thing. Job had some issues in his life that God worked out. But the neat thing was, is Job was called out by God to have Satan tempt him, because God knew Job's heart. God knows your heart today. Are you one that will stand fast? Or are you one that will run? If you want to run, if you're trying to run, God's not going to use you. You're not going to be in the battle. And you won't be happy, because you know you need to be doing something that you're not.
Right.
It says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of terrible mercy." Nothing that you do for God will go unnoticed. God blessed Job twice, double as much in the end, because he stood fast. And he kept the integrity of the truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." Folks, is this an evil day? Yep. It's an evil day. "And having done" what? "All to stand." Doesn't mean having done nothing. There's a lot of people say they're Christians, they don't do anything. They don't even come to church. How can you show me your faith without your works? It just doesn't work that way. There's got to be proof here. It says, "Having done all to" what? Say, when it's all over and the dust clears, who's standing? The Christian is. So the first thing is, we need to stand fast. We need to stand fast through truth. We need to stand fast through trials. We need to stand fast through our entire life, through time. The second thing this morning we need to understand is to be free. "So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath" what? "Made us free." See, to be free is the labor of Christ. There's probably people in here today that's got some burdens. May have some emotional burdens. You may have some physical burdens. You may have some spiritual burdens. But see, my Bible tells me this. It says, "Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, to be free is the labor of Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free," which means that's His purpose, "ye shall be" what? "Free indeed." You know what we're free to do? We're free to do two things. We're free to love God. Before you met Christ, you couldn't love God. Can't. It's a spiritual discernment. It says, "Herein is love, not that we first loved God, but that" what? "He first loved us." That we love God, or He first loved us, and gave Himself to be a propitiation for our sins. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Folks, be free today.
Amen.
Christ died on the cross. He did all this for you. He rose again for you. Accept His gift. And then love God. Boy, if someone saved your life, you'd be indebted to them. If someone saved your life, you'd really love them. If someone helped you out, you would want to show gratitude for that. Oh, we need to love God. Be free. It's the labor of Christ. Be free to love God. Be free to live godly.
Amen.
Be free to live godly. You know why? Because we're in liberty. Now later on in chapter 5 of Galatians says, don't use this liberty to go out and do your own thing.
Right.
We have the ability to do what God wants us to do. Without Christ, you can't do that. Without Christ, you can't love God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But look at the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. You know something? You don't have to sin anymore.
That's right.
You have the power of God. And this is our victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we have the power to live godly if we're walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have a relationship with Him. In Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and also in verse 18, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Folks, it saddens me to hear Christians say, I just can't help but do this. I know that there are struggles with addiction. I know that there are struggles with things. But God's grace is greater. He says, I've overcome the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And folks, why do we live in an addiction? Why do we live in defeat? Why do we live in being unsuccessful to do the right thing? It says here, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Because for ye are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Verse 18 says this, being then made free from sin. You're free from sin. And if you don't know Jesus, know Him today.
Amen.
He became the servants of righteousness. Oh, folks. We need to stand fast through truth. We need to stand fast through trials. We need to stand fast through time. We need to be free. Because that's what God did. That's why He sent Christ. We need to be free to love God. We need to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we need to live godly. Lastly, we need to stay free. We need to stay free. There's a lot of things that we need to stay free from, but there's three things I want to point out this morning. First of all, it was a thing that Paul wrote to the Galatians. We need to stay free from wrong religion. I know it happened in my life. It probably happened in your life. The moment you got saved, you felt great, and the next morning, someone knocked on your door. And you say, well, I know Christ. I'm saying, oh, really? Well, you need to do this. You need to read this book. There's another Bible out there. You need to live a good life. That's what was happening to Galatians. Paul goes and he preaches grace to them. And then these dudes by the name of Judaizers come in. And they said, nope, that's part of the salvation problem. The other part is that you need to keep the law of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to do all these rituals that the Jews were doing through the Old Testament. That's how you know you're saved. And if you do that, you'll go to heaven. That's not the truth. Paul writes in chapter 1 of Galatians, he says, if anybody, even an angel, preach another gospel, let him be accursed. So Paul is trying to set this straight. He said, I'm standing for the truth here. I want you to stand fast. I want you to be free. I don't want you to be entangled again in this bondage of religion. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, he says, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, they were saying you need to have Jesus and be circumcised. You need to do this and works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's right.
It's grace. Well, you Baptists make everything too easy. It is easy. It just takes faith. It takes love. Because if you have faith and love, you won't do the wrong thing.
Right.
You won't do the wrong thing. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to you, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay? So you're going to do the circumcision thing, then you can't lie, you can't cheat, you can't steal, you can't do all this other stuff. You got to do all the stuff that's in the old. You can't do it. You can't do it. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect to you. It made no change. Don't add to salvation, folks. It's by grace alone. It's not by baptism either. Okay? It doesn't happen. The thief on the cross is the best illustration. He couldn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He just accepted Christ. Christ has become none effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are what? Fallen from grace. So we need to stay free from wrong religion. There are so many people. Well, let's all get together. We're all going for the same team. No, we're not. No, we're not. There's a building right up the street, and the pastor called me. He said, let's work together. No! You don't believe the Bible.
Right.
We need to stand for the truth.
Right.
Well, that's pretty fanatical. We ought to get along with everybody. Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace. I said, I came to bring a sword.
Oh, that's right.
See, we need to stay free from wrong religion. We need to stay free from wrong relationships.
Good.
Oh. No, the principle is Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. So you can agree to be wrong and walk wrongly, or you can agree to be right and walk rightly. The person we need to walk with is Christ.
Amen.
But there's people that come in our lives that will distract us. They'll say, well, you can miss church for one day. You come and help me. You know, they won't miss you. Or, really, that's not what it says. Or, you need to go watch this YouTube video. Or, you need to read this book. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How could two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Romans chapter 8 says, my spirit agrees with your spirit that we are the children of God. And folks, if there's a difference between us, don't walk with them. Don't walk with them. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with... Well, that sounds good. I need to be circumcised. Yeah, that sounds good. That's the Old Testament. Yeah, I need to do that. No. That was wrong. And what concord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And an infidel is one who does not have faith. Don't get tangled up with them. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, folks. Is God your God?
Yes.
If God is your God, you need to live it.
That's right.
You need to speak it.
Right.
You need to walk it.
Yep.
You're kind of fired up today.
Amen.
I am. Okay? Because it's truth.
Amen.
It's truth. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, and touch not, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will what? Receive you.
Amen.
See, you want to be received by God? Stand fast. Be free. Stay free. Stay free. Don't get entangled with wrong ideas. There's plenty of them out there. Don't get entangled with the threats of spiritual wickedness in high places and the spiritual warfare. Don't be entangled with that. Don't be entangled with wrong remembrances. Christ says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "And their sin and iniquities I will remember no more." You know what we have is we basically want to bring things back in. We want to hold on to the old stuff, the old ideas. God didn't forgive. And Satan will come and say, "God didn't forgive you that." Oh, yes, He will. We just don't believe it. Or, "I just can't get a grip over this addiction." Or, "I can't get a grip over this." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're dead to that.
That's right.
If you're in Christ. And dead people don't do addictions.
Right.
You can't. See, wrong remembrances can lead to spiritual forgetfulness. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." That's good stuff. "And virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance." That's still fly off the handle. How many fly off the handle in here? Never mind. Okay? "And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, tenderly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Right.
"But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And then they all come back and you call, remember, and then you fall into it. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily besets, and let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith."
Good.
See, we need to stay free from wrong religion, from wrong relationships, from wrong remembrances that can lead to spiritual forgetfulness. "If you be risen Christ, think on those things which are" what? "Above. Not on things of the earth, where Christ sit on the right hand of God." Because see, if we lead to spiritual forgetfulness, we'll lead to spiritual failure. And Christ wants you to be a winner. God wants us to be an overcomer. Romans 8 says that we're more than overcomers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, it says, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them that is than the beginning." You know what a miserable Christian is? Someone who's carrying around guilt.
Amen.
You know what a miserable Christian is? Someone who's carrying around in the world. Says you can't serve two masters. That's Christ speaking. You'll love one and not love the other, or you cleave to one and not pay attention to the other. It says you can't serve God and mammon. Can't do this. John says you love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." James 1 says it best. He says, "An unstable man is unstable, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways."
Right.
Folks, it's time to not be double-minded.
Come on.
It's time to stand fast. It's time to be free.
Right.
And it's time to stay free. And if we're failing in any one of those things, we need to fix that. So what do we do? What shall we do? John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do you need be made free this morning? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Stand for His truth. And then we need to stay free. And Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Stand in God's freedom today, folks. Stand in God's freedom. Understand what He did for you so you could have total victory in your life. So you could be free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's get out of sin's grip. Let's get out of the world's grip. And let's be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let's do that today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I just ask, be with this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today they would see that they're not going to heaven. They would see that they would need your salvation. Father, they would ask for forgiveness of your sins, understanding that you died on the cross for them. You were buried and rose the third day. Father, for us that are redeemed, Lord, I pray that we could just live as if we are redeemed, that we will stand fast, be free, and stay free. And Father, for entangled, Father, just help us to put that at the foot of the cross and ask for your forgiveness. Because you say if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we claim that today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have full reign today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.